step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Danny Klinkscale Reasonably Irreverent Podcast. Insightful and witty commentary, probing interviews, and detours from the beaten path.
Every once in a while, we have to bring out the big dog.
Yeah.
Oh, God help us. It's time for Danny Unleashed. Sponsored by Easton Roofing, where integrity matters. Go to EastonRoofing.com for more.
That's right, Danny Unleashed, brought to you by our good friend Joe Spiker at Easton Roofing. Best in the business, people. Insulation, feeling that draft, that breeze coming around the house, and no windows are open. You know what that is? That's a lack of insulation. Easton Roofing can take care of that for you. What are you waiting on? Get a free estimate right now. Call Joe Spiker and his team at 913-257-5426. Find them online at EastonRoofing.com. All your roofing, insulation, and gutter needs, all there, whether it's home or commercial, it's Easton Roofing. Call right now. Stop sitting there freezing. I'm telling you, the house is just now starting to get cold. You think it sucks now? Wait another couple of weeks. Wait till January gets here. I would call Joe and his team at Easton Roofing right now. Call 913-257-5426. See him online at EastonRoofing.com. No payment collected until you're 100% satisfied handling the entire metro area. That includes Lawrence and Topeka. It's Easton Roofing. Integrity matters. Danny, how are you?
Doing just fine, Seren. Lots of things going on right now in the world of sports.
It's always great when you walk right in here and start complaining.
Yeah, everything sucks.
Aaron Judge winning the MVP.
I wasn't complaining about it. I just thought it was interesting that
he won the MVP?
That it was considered a foregone conclusion that he would win and that he won as handily as he did.
Played for a winning team.
Uh-huh.
Played in New York.
Yeah.
Put up decent or better numbers. Game over.
Well, I didn't notice that Aaron Judge pitched this year.
I'm not arguing. I'm just telling you, I don't know why you would not know that the darling of the apple of the Big Apple's eye.
It was a Judgian vote. All rise.
Win the MVP is staggering
to
me.
I'm not... No,
and I applaud you being one of the eight people that even seem to care about the baseball awards anymore.
Yeah, I guess I do.
I guess you do, Danny.
I guess officially that it kind of makes you old if you really like baseball still, because I still really like baseball, and I like this time
I
of
like
year.
Baseball.
And this year I'm like, this time
I
of
like
year.
I like baseball. I don't like scratching and fixing your glove and right. Screwing around. I don't like artificial rules like no shift. I think that's preposterous. And I look forward to when somebody takes their left fielder and puts them in right while the infielder keeps his heels on the dirt. But
yeah, we agree on that. I think you should be able to shift all you want. Now, I mean, it's not unprecedented in sports that you have to keep certain positions on the field. In other sports, you do. Can't move around in the NFL, you can't be in the lane in basketball, and you know, there's things like that, but I think that there is a solution, an easy solution to, you know, battling a shift. Now we'll see also what teams do a better job of player acquisition based on the fact that there's not going to be shifts now, and probably should have thought about it probably more when there were shifts.
Not everybody can be as forward-thinking and keeping Ryan O'Hearn as the Kansas City Royals have been, Danny. Ahead of the curve.
Suffering through those years just so, well, we know sooner or later the shift is not going to be there.
I'm actually rooting for Ryan O'Hearn because of his Twitter. Did you hear about his tweet?
I just heard you referencing the tweet, but I didn't see what the tweet was.
Can you show it to him, Curtis?
Yeah, I will.
He basically said... new contract, great day to get out on Twitter. And then it's Homer Simpson recessing into the bushes and disappearing. This is after
like,
they
like
announced.
That's it for me.
It's a great, seems like a great day. Like, oh no, I read that wrong.
Ooh,
like,
everyone's destroying the Royals for resigning me. I think I'll just go back here.
I think I'll just hide back here in the bushes. Like, that was, I mean, I give the man great credit for that. And I'm actually rooting for him. I root for the Royals. He's a Royal. Let's hope he goes 45 and 120.
If he's on the squad, you want to root for him if you're a Royals fan. You don't want to say, why is this guy on our, he's on the team. When he's on the team, you may not want him on the team, but while he's on the team and he's re-signed to be on the team, you root for success.
And I've never, ever had the opinion that he wasn't worse than he could be. He was as good as he could possibly be. So there was never any animosity, but the irritation was, why do
the irritation is actually not with Ryan O'Hearn.
Not
the irritation is with the organization.
No, yeah. Totally. Right.
Ryan O'Hearn's out there doing
the
best he can do.
Hacking as best he can.
Right. But, and also, he plays a position or positions with numerous chances for the numerous other options for the Royals. It's, you know, it's not like they're. Look at how much he was on the team the whole year, and he had, what, 150 at bats?
He was one of only four Royals that was on the team every day all year.
Right.
I don't even know who the other three are.
That's an amazing statistic.
I have no idea who the other three are. Nicky Lopez make it the whole way? Seems like he did.
Probably Witt, because he played over 150 games.
Witt, Nicky, O'Hearn, and...
Witt played for the Blue Jays for part of the season.
No, Bobby
Witt. There's no Junior.
There's no W-H-I-T on the Royals anymore.
It'll go away now.
It was actually, I hope that was delivered in comedic fashion, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. Delivered in idiocy.
Well, I just gave you an out. You should have taken it.
No, I'm not going to cop out to that. When I'm an idiot, I'm an idiot, and I will own it.
So, anyway, you root for, if a guy's on your squad, you want him to do better. Even if you don't want him on the team, you don't go out there and say, I hope he fails so my opinion's right.
Well, I think just...
you could lose more games unless that's what you want to do.
And somewhat because Adalberto Mondesi took another season of it off for due to injury, became the poster child
sabbatical.
Yeah, of the, we got to have somebody better than this blanking guy, don't we? Right? It fell on him. You know, he's been there the longest, and he became the poster child of, it has been 5 years now? 4 years. 4 years of a rebuild that finds itself three games away from losing 100 games. And that's the frustration. And that you know, to the point that I think it was Ted was making. I mean, that's also why Dayton's not here. That's it. There's many reasons. There's never one reason why someone isn't there. But I think John Sherman listened to Dayton Moore's philosophy on things, gave it an opportunity through difficult years in 20, you know, COVID years of 2021, and then 22 was a prove it year. And in John Sherman's mind, the big league club and the organization did not prove it.
Well, I think,
and he's got other ideas about how to do it.
What you can look at it as really is that the first rebuild failed. Now, maybe the second rebuild, because once they jettisoned the idea of, you know, once they brought all these position players up and just played them all the time, that's basically saying that phase we just did when we did Michael A. Taylor and Mike Minor and all these other things, that failed.
And Andrew Benintendi.
So that failed, and now we're on to another one. Well, you don't get another one.
That's a pretty good way to put it.
That's fair. You know, Dayton Moore can look at it and say, well, this one was going to work, but it's another one. It's not the same rebuild. It's a different one.
I don't know that Michael A. Taylor, Andrew Benintendi, Mike Minor would have been considered the finished product as much as a bridge to these guys. But your point's pretty valid.
When you're that far in and going into this year, you're supposed to be taking a step forward, and that step forward does not include anybody really but Bobby Witt Jr., then that phase, you know, might not want to call it a complete phase, but that phase failed. And the next phase where you're going to not have the Andrew Benintendis of the world.
Carlos Santana.
You know, Whit Merrifield, Carlos Santana. These guys are gone. That was who you were supposed to, you know, take you at least partially to the mountaintop. I mean, I don't think anybody thought that was a world championship team, but maybe a slight bit of a bridge is the right thing, but it was supposed to be a winning bridge.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes or, you know, something like that. And instead it was Tyler. What was the left-hander's
Tyler
name?
Palco?
Tyler Palco. Instead it was that.
Was Tyler Palco left-handed? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Somebody said there hadn't been a left-hander start in the NFL between like Boomer Esiason and Tua. Maybe they just meant constant
maybe a good starter.
Win a game?
Yeah, maybe win a game.
He didn't win a game.
Yeah. Or maybe be a real starting quarterback who started a significant amount of games. But yeah, he was the fact that you forgot he was left-handed says everything.
There were people that questioned Tyreek Hill's handedness based upon the one time they saw him throw a ball.
There were people that questioned Tim Tebow's handedness. Like, are you really right-handed?
How'd you like that, speaking of something like that?
Was Tim Tebow right-handed?
No, he was left-handed.
That's why.
But everyone's like, are you sure you're left-handed?
So he won a game.
He did.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because he won here.
He won a playoff game.
He completed four passes and won a game here.
Right, but did you like that Leonard Fournette to Tom Brady idea last in the game the other day?
Well, they should have, I don't know if you saw some of the breakdowns on it, but they lined it up twice. And the first time they didn't even cover him, and they didn't throw the ball over there. And so I think the second time they're like, listen, they didn't even cover him, Lenny. Like, throw him the ball. And so Lenny went, okay, I'm going to throw him the ball, no matter what. The fact that the second time he was covered was inconsequential
to him. And
then
he fell on his ass anyway.
He had been told to throw the ball. So he threw the ball. Yes, that was the idea is you get him on the surprise, but you do it once.
He still had.
You don't do it a couple times to check. Right. They're not covering him. They'll never see it again.
He still had ground to cover, though. I mean, even if he was wide open, is he going to make it in there? Probably going to get blasted out of bounds on top of everything else.
I think the idea is he catches it and either walks in or he catches it
and walks out of bounds.
Completely wide and walks out of bounds before he's hit, was the idea.
I guess. But that it's the biggest flaw with trick plays that I don't know if you can coach out, because so many times the guy who was supposed to throw the ball, he's hell-bent for leather that he's going to throw it.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times the guys throw into triple coverage? It's not wide. This is a break. You know, unless this guy is – unless you don't see any defenders – out there.
But I think that's a great point. By the way, I love the Derrick Henry jump pass.
Oh, that was a great play.
And I cannot wait for the Michael Burton jump pass. Because that little end-around toss to him, you know, or that little Mahomes spins clear around and hands him the ball, like, they're all in now to stop that because of how many times he's had it. The jump pass will work. It works all the time. Syracuse has done it numerous times. They did it one time against Clemson like 3 years ago. Of course, their center was downfield because it was working so well. And he was, I think, charging to celebrate. They scored a touchdown off of it out at midfield on like a 4th-and-1. And it was so wide open, the fatty tight end just all the way. And they're like, no, sorry. Center was 4 yards downfield. It's a great play. And the Titans run it brilliantly. Did you see it last night?
Yes.
And, you know, Henry
not
does
live.
A great job of
no.
it. But it and so Henry executes it well. But that's the coaching part. Like, you got to know your guys. Like when you talk to Tyreek Hill, is Tyreek Hill a guy who's going to let it go no matter what, if you call that play?
Yes.
Or is Tyreek Hill going to read the D?
He's going to let it go.
Yeah. So if you call that play, you know. You better feel really good with your intel that they're not going to cover it, because Tyreek Hill is going to throw it.
Right.
Right? Like, I'll give you another.
And that happens way too much.
Willie Gay. I'll give you a guy who will never have the opportunity because he doesn't play offense. Would Willie Gay throw it?
Yes.
Yes, Willie Gay would throw it. Okay? He would absolutely throw it. Would Travis Kelce throw it?
I think he'd be inclined to throw it.
I think he'd throw it, even though he was a high school quarterback. I think he'd throw it. Now, guys who might not throw it, Justin Watson might not throw it. I actually think that Marquez Valdez-Scantling might not throw it. I mean, you could Mecole Hardman, that thing's going up.
Yes.
You know, you could pretty much tell from the personality of a guy who are the guys you can trust to make a read.
Like Chris,
and who aren't.
Like Chris Conley when he was on the Chiefs. He wouldn't have. He might not have.
He would read it. Chris right. Conley would read it.
He might stop and film it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
What is he doing?
He would have watched film of a few of these type of plays. Yeah.
But that's part of the coaching. I mean, like there's some players. I tried to get it from Dave Tobin, and I was shocked that he gave it to me. I said, "Listen, there's your neck of the woods is all nuance." It's all the exceptions and the rules and all these little things. I said, there's all, you know, you ever have some guys that you're like, this guy's not getting it. Like, I can't work with this guy.
Some men
I go,
you
I'm not,
can't reach.
I'm not, yes, that's exactly
you
the voice I had in my
can't
head.
Can't reach.
That the Cool Hand Luke Warden, you know, some men you can't reach. Like, there are some guys that are not going to get that if you touch the ball with your foot out of bounds, that becomes a kickoff out of bounds. That if after the other guy touches it, you can go for a return, because if it gets kicks around and then kicked into the end zone, it's a touchback, which is what Chris Lammons did, which got the Chiefs 18 extra yards because they had touched it. But I'm guaranteeing you there are six guys out of those 11 that got no idea how that rule works.
Right. Well,
and he at least admitted to me, he's like, yeah, there's some.
Well,
some you need, yeah,
to that point, I thought his comments about Tony being a punt returner were
frightening.
Yeah,
because I'm a little bit more you either can play the outfield or you can't play the outfield.
I mean, I always heard
some reads
every
he's
you can read
out.
The flight of the ball or you can't read
most,
the flight of the ball.
Most special teams coaches will say out loud often, "Job one for a punt returner is to catch the ball." And he basically said, well, he's a dangerous cat. We're willing to let him scoop it on the bounce, rugby the mother.
No, he did not. He said he has got to get up and catch the ball.
But it's something that he has to figure out.
But he did seem to value that no more than the dangerous, the returnability. I will grant you that he was not all about catch the ball.
I would have said,
ball.
I would have seen that in a real football game and said, nope. Because there's just not many of those plays. And if you jack one, it's bad.
I mean, this team does not have to be
especially
reminded of that.
Has there been a kick return for a touchdown in the National Football League this year? Off the top of my head, I don't believe so.
I don't think so either. And I know there hasn't been one for this team in at least a couple of years, it feels like.
Oh, I think it's longer than a couple of years.
And that's why I'm like, why? I keep asking, have the kickers and punters and the coverages gotten too good to where this is a fool's errand? And I asked it to Andy Reid finally. I've asked it to Dave Tope numerous times. I asked it to Andy Reid, and he started talking about what it takes to get a good return. I'm like, that's not my question, coach. But you don't.
And you ladle on the fact that half the time you get a penalty anyway.
Right. And just the answer of Andy Reid, that he started talking about the minutia of what it takes for a good return. You got to block this and you got to do that and you got to do this.
No.
I'm like, oh, he's bringing it out. I'm like, I ask him, should you even, like, can you even do it? Not even entertained for a moment.
There has been.
He immediately attacks how it works. No. I want you to decide, can it work?
Can it work? Or one?
There has been one.
I don't remember. Yeah,
Devin Duvernay of Baltimore against
the That's right, the opener.
In the season opener.
In the opener.
Or the second.
So since the opener, nada.
No one.
Nada. I mean, that used to be a weekly occurrence.
Yeah.
You say, at
somebody
least?
Somewhere in the league got one.
Maybe, and maybe usually more.
Yeah.
Maybe one or two a week. You know, just because you can see it in your mind's eye, guy dancing towards the end zone.
Dante Hall had two in a game, four in a season. You know,
right. To me, adding on the fact that
last year there were 11.
Okay, well, that's
were there really?
There's one, none, but just one.
When was the last time the Chiefs had one?
Ooh, oh, boy, that goes way back.
Still, 11's not really even
I'll,
that
I'll
many.
I'll bet it goes back
no.
to
yeah, it's, every other week. How many games there are.
It's every other week in the whole league, still. But still that, that's, still, that's no. still surprising that yep. it's that many to me.
11 out of, what, 16 times 17?
Yeah. Right. 272 right? games?
Yeah.
That ain't many.
It's not very often.
No, I mean, for instance, I mean...
Times how many returns?
Right.
You take the fact that...
Six a game, maybe?
The fact that...
Probably so, at least.
Seven, eight?
What percentage? Yeah. Two automatically.
50%.
11 out of 2,700?
Yeah.
I would say at least 50% of kickoffs are not returned, I would think. I'm guessing.
By the way, I went back to 2000. There were 30 in 2000.
Well, there you see. There you go.
11 last year.
Thank you.
So that's... You're right.
But also, the punters punt the ball further... So that means
higher.
Higher. That
getting
means
the
more
coverage down there.
That means
better.
More punts that you're probably going to try to feel. You're going to be fielding inside your 15 or 20 yard line, and you're going to be more conservative there, and you're going to fair catch those way more often, or let them hit the ground. So you just don't get that many opportunities to make a good play. So if you're liable to make a bad play, I don't like the percentages.
No. I don't either. More with Danny Klingscale. He's brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Joe Spiker and his great team. You can find him online at eastonroofing.com. Voted neighborhood favorite on the Nextdoor app. They won all the awards. They are the best in the business. It's the only people I'll let on my roof, whether it's your home or your business. Gutters or insulation, in addition to all roofing questions, whether it's a new roof or repair. That's right. Educating you about every possible solution. That's how Easton Roofing does business. Easton Roofing, integrity matters. More with Danny Klingscale next.
More of Danny's Reasonably Irreverent podcast after this.
Hey, Kansas City, Joe Spiker, Easton Roofing here. This happens all the time. I had a homeowner call me because a roofing company talked him into submitting a claim for hail damage. The claim was not denied, but all the insurance paid for was cosmetic damage to the roof. Of course, there was no damage to the roof that mattered. The roofing company was just doing what most do. Turn it in and hope to get lucky, with no thought to the consequences they leave behind for the homeowner. The homeowner asked me what to do, and unfortunately, he was stuck paying his deductible for a bunch of unnecessary repairs. Because if he doesn't get it fixed, the insurance won't cover his roof anymore. Turning in an insurance claim is not something to do willy-nilly. It is a serious procedure that requires serious people to help you through the process. That's why you should never turn in an insurance claim without having Easton Roofing take a look first, for free, and keep you from filing erroneous insurance claims that can hurt you in the end. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
All right, the good sense. End of the hour answer. Three players have had a 1,300-yard receiving season for the Chargers. I asked for any one of them.
Lance Allworth.
He did it three times.
John Jefferson.
John Jefferson. That's the one I think some people wouldn't have gotten.
Wes Chandler.
Nope.
No, you didn't get that. 1,300 yards?
Mm-hmm.
Wide receiver?
Anybody.
Three players. Kellen Winslow?
Nope.
Kellen Winslow?
Amazingly.
Wow.
Who's the other tight? Who's the modern tight end? Gates.
Antonio Gates? No.
Keenan Allen?
Keenan Allen.
He had a big one. Those three? The only three?
Yep. It's amazing how many spots on the yardage, single season yardage list are taken up by Lance Allworth.
There's never been maybe someone whose nickname was so apropos.
Oh, yeah.
He ran like nobody ever has. His nickname was Bambi, and he looked like a deer out there.
Yeah. I mean,
it was very odd.
Yeah.
Odd, but
23
amazing.
Yards per catch in 1965, I think it was. He had 1,600 yards. It's crazy numbers.
Yeah, that is. So we will see. And Keenan Allen expected to play this weekend. By the way, Good Sense, what we were playing for right there, you can get you some Good Sense right now, people. GoodSenseSubs.com. Use the app. You know, it was founded in Lenexa, Kansas. It's just a better sandwich. Go get you a big 16-inch Good Sense sub right now. The freshest meats, they slice that meat and cheese right when you order it. The bread, that's baked fresh twice each day. The veggies, you're not going to find fresher veggies. The toppings are fantastic. Got a game this Sunday. Going to have everybody over on Sunday night. Get you a big Good Sense party tray. That's always a great way to go. Go to GoodSenseSubs.com right now. Danny Klingscale is with us, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Danny, what's your expectation for this game with the Chiefies?
I think this one might get out of hand for the Chiefs. I do. I don't know what I'm basing this on, because the Chiefs week after week continue to make games entertaining. They're very theatrical.
They pretty much dominated the Jags because they were minus three and they were still up 17 points until an oh by the way made it 10.
Yeah, but that was at the end though. I mean, that game you figured might be, you know, done and dusted by middle, you know, third quarter, and it was no. They dominated. I mean, if there were turnovers in the game, but that's what I mean. They committed them. So, but that game was the big, maybe that's what I'm basing it on. The Chiefs looked very good in that game, and they did a lot of things well. And maybe I figure it's about time that they're going to, you know, start well and then continue on, because they have done a great job of, you know, obviously building Patrick Mahomes' unconscious record of coming back from 10-point deficits. But you do have to get down 10 points in order to come back from a double-digit deficit. And they certainly have mastered the art of doing that, too. But the Chargers are banged up. Yes, it's, you know, a circle-the-wagons type of game, but I would have thought this game had more of an opportunity to be a close game if the Chargers hadn't lost last week. Their motivation, to me, is a little bit more suspect. It's never really a road game in Los Angeles against the Chargers. The Chiefs have so many fans at these games. So I guess I'm thinking that this might be an easy one for the Chiefs, but that's my analysis, but the Chiefs haven't done that often the last couple of years.
I think you're like, oh my God, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, they can be a handful. Yeah, they can, but I think the Chiefs' corners with Trent McDuffie out there are a lot better than they've been. When you put Snead and McDuffie, now Snead's been limited in practice, so we'll see what his designation ends up being. But if both of those corners play, I feel pretty good about the matchup. I know Mike Williams is going to catch five balls where he's completely covered, because it happens every time they play him. But I don't think they're just going to be running wild back there in the secondary. I think the lack of Slater at left tackle means there should be an effective pass rush for the Kansas City Chiefs, because they've got to worry about what's going on inside with Chris Jones, and that should get one-on-one work on the outside, which should at least get Justin Herbert moving his legs. I think Willie Gays, and Reed can come up and help out on Austin Eckler. So yeah. I think this defense matches up well with what the Chargers are going to bring to the table. And I don't think anybody matches up well with the Chiefs' offense.
No.
Even
and
if they're down.
Can you run against the Chargers all day
yes.
long?
Yes, and I think Isaiah Pacheco is going to get the ball early and often, and I think off that they're going to throw. And I think Valdes-Scantling, Kadarius Toney, Justin Watson, and Sky Moore, with Travis Kelce leading the way, are more than enough in the passing game, because it's the quarterback that means more than the receivers, and Patrick Mahomes will prove it.
They gave up 200 yards rushing three times in four games, and held the 49ers to 157 last week. So yeah. The rushing yards are going to be there all day.
It's just whether the Chiefs will willingly accept that. And the other part is, and this, like to me, the way the Chiefs have shown themselves so far this year isn't likely to happen. If Austin Eckler isn't a big factor in this game, then I don't think the Chargers have had any chance at all. But, yeah. You know, the Chiefs still, every now and then you're watching a game and you're like, oh, come on, stop the run, will you? Will you please?
Really?
This year they've been a lot better. But
the Chargers aren't running it at all.
Right.
The only game you saw that was the Raiders.
Yeah.
And I think we sometimes fail to give credit to the other team. The Raiders came out and said, we're playing six offensive linemen, and we're going to bulldoze you. And I think it's clear that that's not what Steve Spagnuolo and the boys were ready for. But they did enough
right.
to slow them down, and the offense was strong enough that day that they got the win.
Yeah, yeah, the Chiefs have been good on first down runs this year. It's been a big difference for them. And if they don't allow good first down running, and I'm not even so sure the Chargers are going to try it that much, then I like the Chiefs' chances even more.
The Titans came out and had three defensive linemen over on one side of the line to force Orlando Brown to block one-on-one. It was effective. I don't think it's what they expected. By the way, they're doing it again last night against the Packers, too, if anybody saw that. They're doing it on the other side, on the right side of the Packers' offensive line. And I was like, when is somebody just going to be like, quarterback sneak right through here for six? Like, that's what you got to do. When you're Andy Reid and you've advertised, we will not run the quarterback on a sneak of any kind, it kind of takes it away. But you would think that, okay, let's be ready for that, where we the center blocks down and we get a double team out on the edge and we've got a guard on a linebacker. That's it. Let's go. Let's run this right here. But, you know, I think the other teams have done a pretty good job. We see Patrick Mahomes when he's humming along, and we see him in the fourth quarter where they've digested everything that's been thrown at them, and they're now ready to attack it. And we're like, well, why don't you do that from the get-go? Well, because the other teams have some pretty good schemes too, right? Not right. always, but...
Yes, the other teams are on scholarship. It's like when I talk football with... My wife was watching. She doesn't watch that many sports with me, but we watch generally every Chiefs game together. Well, why won't they do this? And why? And sometimes they'll just say, the other guys get paid too. They're professional football players.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's not a Broadway show. It's not an opera. You know, they're not, the Chiefs aren't performance art.
Yeah, the Titans aren't waiting for their cue to lay down.
Although the Chiefs.
As much as they often look like performance art.
Although the Chiefs this year have, the Chiefs have, the last couple of years, just turned into a very theatrical team. You go into games thinking, well, today's the day. Chiefs aren't going to be, you know, have much trouble here. And then it's midway through the second quarter, and it's 13-3, other team.
They're literally victims of their own success.
Yeah. Yes.
Because they make it look easy, so we expect it to be easy all the time. Mm-hmm. And when it's not, we're like, well, what are they doing wrong? And generally speaking, they're not doing anything wrong. And then they find a way to get there. And instead of celebrating them overcoming the obstacles, we bitch and moan about why they didn't kick ass from the get-go.
Right. But I think that sometimes they should kick ass from the get-go. Yes. And I'm thinking that maybe today,
the Colts.
Maybe today is going to be the time. You know, because when you do put yourself into these situations where you're lollygagging, you can get beat because that's when, you know.
Well, that's what happened to the Colts. They kept self-destructing enough, and they were still in position to win it, still in position to win it, till they finally ran out of time to fix all their mistakes.
Right.
Well, the Chiefs have just announced they're wearing white on white in the game, so at least I'll be happy.
Yeah, I'm not big on the white on white, but that's all right.
Really?
I don't hate it, but I think I like the red pants with white.
I like a variety. I'll be happy to see the white on white. Just we haven't seen it for a little while.
It makes players look fast. I'll say that. They do look fast when they're.
I like the red on red too, though. I like the red over white and the white over red. I like it all.
The Chiefs pretty much don't have a uniform scheme that, except when they wore the Texas helmets. That's no good.
I have no problem with that. It's part of their history.
No, it's part of their history. I just don't like. I don't think it's an appealing looking helmet. That's all.
Oh, you just okay.
Yeah. I just don't like the helmet. It's the idea doesn't bother me.
Well, at least they haven't like decided that for some reason they're going to trap themselves in time 40 years ago on one element of their uniform and wear a gray face mask for no reason whatsoever. Like the dumbass Cardinals and what other idiot.
Colts,
they're stupid ass.
Well, if you're going to do it, you can't half do it. You have to wear like a two bar.
Yeah.
You know, like exactly. A Roger Staubach or something like that. Yeah. Or there's no point to it because you're wearing a modern face mask that's a different color.
Yeah, it's just, it's a joke. It's pathetic is what it is. We'll talk a little bit of college football with Danny Klingscale next here in the program. He's brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Find him online right now at eastonroofing.com, educating you about every possible solution I know. I was ready to pay for a new roof. Turns out all I needed was a repair. The folks at Easton Roofing were up on my roof taking pictures, explaining what had gone wrong, why it only needed a simple repair, and why it would be good to go for years to come. I appreciate that. That's Easton Roofing, founded on integrity. Easton Roofing, getting you back to business, getting you back to life faster. Go right now to eastonroofing.com or call 913-257-5426.
More of Danny's Reasonably Irreverent podcast after this.
Kansas homeowners, betting is legal in Kansas now. Don't make a bad bet on your roofer. Call Easton Roofing, 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing, integrity matters.
Danny Klingscale, little Danny Unleashed, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Voted Best of Houses, perennial award winner for all the awards. They collect no payment until you're 100% satisfied, and you will be 100% satisfied for all your roofing, gutter, and insulation needs. Easton Roofing, best in the business. Check them out online at eastonroofing.com or call today, 913-257-5426. Get a free estimate on any work that needs to be done. Free inspection. It's at Easton Roofing, eastonroofing.com. Danny? Your thoughts on the
Missouri-New Mexico State game?
No. I mean, I feel bad for the Mizzou fans. I mean, some of them, you know, I understand they got it. When I said, I don't get why you're having to give this extension now, and they rallied to their guy, I mean, I get it.
It's your guy. We just were talking about Ryan O'Hearn.
Yeah,
It's your guy. It's your guy.
Yeah, sure.
You want him to succeed. Fine.
Absolutely. You damn well better win. And I think this is one I like Missouri minus the points because I think Drinkwitz knows he needs to not just win, but pour it on. Right. Like, this can't go 34-17 like he did against who was that rummy they had early?
Northwest Missouri.
Was it Abilene
State?
Christian?
Oh, Abilene Christian. Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah, they got to punk him. But yeah, let's move. We don't need to talk about it. If they don't, that's a story. So
we'll worry about it then?
Yeah.
What's enough? Clearance by how much?
They got to cover.
Really? I think 3 touchdowns would be good enough.
Nah, I think they got to cover.
Really? Okay. Otherwise?
I mean, New Mexico State's gotten absolutely pounded by all 3 Power Fives they've played. Now, they've been much more respectable under their new coach, Jerry Kill, and he might actually do something in one of the nation's worst football programs down there. He'll be a guest on College Game Day tomorrow, but they should.
Native Kansan.
You got to do that. Yeah, he's has all kinds of connections.
And epileptic. Hi, Jerry.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. He has. And he's battled that throughout his career.
Yes, and one of the reasons that he stepped away at Minnesota, or was the reason he stepped away.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but more substantial football to be played tomorrow. I think Kansas State has a chance to, you know, be in a little trouble. I don't think they're going to lose, but I think that game's in play. I do.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
So you're calling for the Mountaineers?
No, but I don't think Kansas State fans should just be thinking, oh, West Virginia, they're not very good.
I don't either, because there is a bit of a trap game scenario coming off a big game with Baylor and look ahead to
I don't think anybody's bad in this league either.
I think K-State can see
the finish line,
the trophy. And
sure.
I think the engine revved up and they may not downshift on this, but they're full speed
ahead.
Yeah,
I'm still picking them, but I think it's maybe a battle. Maybe a battle there.
So. I sure hope not. I just hope they win because I want them to get to – I want that Kansas game. I want the rivalry game. It'll mean something.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas going for a 7th win. Kansas with a chance to maybe knock K-State out of the conference championship game.
So you're chalking up a loss for the Jayhawks tomorrow.
Yeah, I am, but I'm predicting a loss.
Right.
Are you predicting a victory?
No, I am not.
Okay, so I don't think we're any different. Stop being a smartass. Okay.
No, I was just
don't
asking.
Need you to try to paint me sour.
I was just asking.
Fan base.
I hadn't heard what your selection was.
My pick was Texas minus the points, because I think Texas. But I'm not loving it. I hate this. I don't like the card. Do I have Mizzou? I have Mizzou minus 28.5. You think I'm tickled about that?
Probably not.
No. I took the Chargers, and my pick, I realized, on my Red Golden Bowl podcast Tuesday night was 33-20 Chiefs. I'm like, well, I've kind of contradicted myself here in a royal fashion.
Yes, and the way we discussed the game sounded like more than a 5-point Chiefs win.
Yes.
Also.
I'm like, what was I don't know what I was doing. You guys were you all on the Chiefs?
No.
No? Okay. Everybody was on the Chargers, right?
I said Chiefs win, Chargers cover.
Yeah, I should have been on the Chiefs. There's another reason to have been on the Chiefs. These guys are terrible.
Can confirm.
So, yeah, I'm not loving the card. I like K-State to just keep it rolling, but partially because I've kind of been an auto bet on K-State all year. I love K-State looking at what they were bringing back this year. Love the over on their win total. That cashed. Love the win total on the Kansas over, too, and that cashed. So I'm kind of just auto-betting K-State. I don't know that I'm getting clear reads because I felt like they're an undervalued team and will be continued to be undervalued.
West Virginia's been pretty salty at home, you know, of late.
Yeah. If you're gonna win a conference championship, you'll handle West Virginia.
Yes.
So
in their current state, they may switch quarterbacks tomorrow. They may play two quarterbacks, West Virginia.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of reasons for K-State to feel good about things. And I think that a lot of people, they'll be interested to see if they both get there in their current fashion, TCU undefeated, K-State with no more losses. I'll be curious what the line is in that game. Because I think a lot of people are going to be sexy picking K-State in that game.
Well, it's 7.5.
No, I mean the game.
Oh, KU,
the title. No, the title game.
Oh, against TCU?
Yeah.
TCU, it'd be in Dallas, right? So,
I don't know if that matters much. I think K-State will be as well represented as TCU, well, probably.
That's true. TCU, who does TCU have this week? What do they have left? They're likely to. I mean, they're in, right? They've got two pretty decent games.
No, I mean they're just
they've got
about,
one rummy.
They're
don't
just
they?
just about in. I forget exactly who they play, but I think they have two representative games.
Baylor this week, and Iowa State at home.
And everybody has three losses except for K-State and them, so right. They're in. Nobody. You can't get two teams.
I guess that's right.
I think they're in.
I guess that's right.
TCU, the lower it is, the more I like the Cats. TCU -5.
I think it might be a little closer than that on the line. I'm not talking about the game itself.
I could see 3.5. I think it'll be more than a field goal. Do you?
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe it'll be like 2, 2.5.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I will love me the Cats on the money line if that's the
case.
There
you go.
Danny, you're the man. Have a great weekend.
That sounds good.
Danny Klinkscale, brought to you by Eastern Roofing.
This podcast was made possible by our great sponsors like Eastern Roofing, the presenting sponsor of Kansas City Profiles at the Danny Klinkscale Reasonably Irreverent Podcast. Eastern Roofing. Where integrity matters.
We hope you enjoyed the latest Danny Klinkscale Reasonably Irreverent podcast. Come back soon for something fresh and new.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.